Yes, that was the sound of the one and only Chuck Wagon Maltby, and that was beer drinking and hell raising, and I'd say there was an awful lot that done in the years gone by. There's probably still a lot of it that's been done by this man. We have him on the line now. Hopefully, he is Chuck Wagon Maltby. He is from Lizardland, also known as Arizona, all the way over there in the United States of America. Chuck, you're very welcome to Kick-Ass Country here on Dundalk FM 100.
Well, thanks, guys. It's sure good to hear your voices.
Yeah, well, actually, we were thinking maybe that we might do this interview in Irish, Chuck. Would that be okay with you?
Well, I can't understand a word you're saying already. If you go into Irish, I'll be totally lost.
What?
I don't speak Irish very well at all. All I know is we and Guinness. Those are the only Irish words I know.
Because, Chuck, I can't understand a word you're saying either now, my friend.
Oh, we're in big trouble here.
Can you do sign language?
I can. Can you see what I'm doing right now?
Oh, don't be doing that.
Oh, you do know sign language. Good, good. Hey, are we on the air? Should I watch what I say now?
Yeah, we're on the air.
We are live on air in Dundalk here and also around the world on the World Wide Web.
Oh, my goodness. So I should be seeing a big spike in record sales here in the next few days, right?
No doubt. No doubt whatsoever. You're on the ball, Chuck.
Oh, good, good. Yes, I am a astute businessman.
I'm
called worse, but that's what I like to think of myself as.
Listen, Chuck, we'd like you to tell the listeners a wee bit about yourself. If you want to throw in a couple of lies maybe here and there, that's fine with us. We don't mind.
I've never spoken a word of truth in my life, and that's the truth. Well, let me see. We'll start at the beginning. I was born in 1950, so which was a good year because it's easy to do the math to tell how old I am. And my first experience with music was my mother. My mother gave birth to me when she was only 17 years old. There's a whole story behind that. Anyway, so I was raised up listening to Elvis and Little Richard and Jerry Lee Lewis. My mother really liked the 50s rock and roll, and she had it on all day long. That's all I heard.
Right, so the rock and roll was a big influence.
Oh, absolutely.
And what about country music? Were you introduced to country at an early age?
Well, not really. The only country that I knew about was Bob Wills, just because they were always going, aha, San Antonio, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's the only country music that I was ever exposed to and didn't hear much of. It was all rock and roll because of my mother, basically.
So can you tell me then, Chuck, how you got started in the music industry?
Well, I saw the Beatles on television in 1963, and I asked my mom, I said, Mom, do you think these fellas make money doing this? And she said, oh, yeah, a lot of money. So I said, well, that's for me then. That's what I'm going to do. And she said, good for you. And it took off from there. Well, it didn't really take off. It's been a long struggle. In fact, I'm still struggling, but I'm proud of it.
Yeah, but you're working hard on your fourth million, I believe.
That's correct. You know about that. I gave up on the prior $3 million. That just didn't work out. I have an ace in the hole now, too. I'm sort of putting the music aside for a little while because I think this alcohol manufacturing is the way to make money. I have no doubt. You know about my Scorpion Mezquila, don't you?
Yeah, I know about that, but maybe you can maybe enlighten the listeners about it.
Well, for the listeners that aren't aware, here in southern Arizona, we're very fond of mezcal and tequila, and I've come up with a perfect combination of the two to make what I call mezquila. And instead of having a worm in the bottle that is very natural, I have a I'm going to put a scorpion in every bottle. That hasn't been done yet. I researched it.
So it's going to have a good sting in its tail then, this drink.
Exactly. There's all sorts of possibilities for slogans and what have you.
Yeah, and I suppose you won't really feel the hangover then. You'll be too busy nursing your wound from the scorpion.
Well, you enlightened me a bit yourself. You told me that you suffer from, what was it? Hang-oners or hang-around is what you suffer from, which I like better. A hang-around is something that doesn't go away.
That's it, yeah. It sort of stays with you, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to adopt that as part of our slogan.
I was reading some comment that you had posted, and you actually used that phrase yourself.
I did. I hope you don't mind my plagiarism.
No, I have no copyrights to it anyway.
Oh, good, good. I'll keep. I really admire your wit and wisdom. Absolutely.
Are you saying that I'm big, like that I'm heavy?
No, that's not what I was getting to. Anyway, what was I talking about? I was telling you about the Beatles. You remember the Beatles? They were real big, and you know they were real big in the States anyway.
Yeah, well, they were long before my time.
They were?
Yeah, well, they weren't long before my time, Chuck.
Oh, well, how old are you fellows anyway?
Yeah, well, very young.
like 16 or 26? Or...
Oh, no. We're sort of... Well, you said you were born in 1950.
Correct.
Well, I waited 4 years after you were born, then I was born.
Oh, my goodness. You guys, you probably haven't... You don't know about sex or anything.
No, nothing.
No, nothing. We still have to wait to be told on that.
Yeah, we always thought that sex was just came after five.
Oh, gosh, guys. Well, we're going to have a private chat. You guys have a lot of catching up to do, that's for sure.
Well, listen, anyway, Chuck, can we get back on track to talk about the band that you had, the Chuck Wagon and his old band? How did that come about?
Oh, yeah. Okay, back in the... we're going back to the mid-70s, back before your time here. In the mid-70s, rock and roll was king. And rock and roll and country music here in the States was separate. They didn't mix the two. They had two separate worlds going on.
Right.
In the mid-70s, the two worlds started mixing. Like, are you familiar with Commander Cody?
No, I wouldn't. I seen him as one of your MySpace friends there, but I wouldn't be familiar with him.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, Google Commander Cody and find out about him, because he's the one that showed me that country music can be cool. Because up to then, I thought country music was just for, you know, hillbillies and such.
Yeah.
And rock and roll was the way to go. But Commander Cody and the New Riders of the Purple Sage and the Charlie Daniels Band and the Pure Prairie League, I'm rattling off old American country rock bands. But I discovered that there was a big market for this country and rock combination. And I got into it because I saw how low-tech it was. They didn't have to wear spandex costumes or... They didn't have to have Marshall amplifiers that were taller than they were. It was all pretty low key, and I thought that appeals to me. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And I got into it, and it kind of took off. And then that disco sucks tune really took off big. Is sucks a bad word in Ireland?
Well, I suppose it depends on what way you use it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, I'm saying it with all due respect.
Yep.
Disco sucks was a tune that got us really sort of famous here stateside.
It caused a bit of a riot in more ways than one.
Well, that's correct. Do you know about that baseball riot they had in Chicago back in 79?
Yep, I was doing a bit of homework. What exactly was happening, Chuck? There was a lot of people at a baseball game, and then they decided they were going to burn some disco LPs.
That's correct. It was a doubleheader, they call them, when they have two games in the same afternoon. And between games, a Chicago... A radio personality promoted a disco demolition, they called it, where everybody was supposed to bring their disco records to the ballpark and pile them up in center field and light them on fire and blow them up.
Mm-hmm.
And it got out of hand. It turned into a genuine riot where the stands caught on fire and the fans poured out into the field and tore the field up. Anyway, they had to cancel the second game of the Chicago White Sox baseball game doubleheader, which had never been done. They've canceled games because of, you know, tornadoes or hurricanes or rain.
Right.
But not a riot. It's unprecedented.
So do you suffer the backlash from that?
Absolutely. The authorities here in the States were ready to send out an advisory to all the broadcasters to get that record off the air. It's volatile, they said. It's causing problems.
So they were basically looking for someone to blame, and then everyone started pointing the finger in your direction.
They sure did, but that's okay. I learned that if you stick your neck out, sometimes it's gonna get cut. Okay, but we survived it okay, and it did cause a big boost in our career, such as it was. I mean, we got lots of engagements out of it. And became quite popular because of all the adverse publicity. Better adverse publicity than no publicity, though.
Yeah, isn't that what they say? There's no such thing as bad publicity.
That's correct. That's one to live by.
And listen, Chuck, I got a message in there earlier on from Big G, and he said to say a big howdy to you. He said you're his real compadre.
Big G is a radio personality there at KRVL in Kerrville, Texas, which is pretty near to Austin, Texas.
Right.
You've heard of these places, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Big G, he does the midnight shift from midnight till 6 in the morning, and I love Big G. He's a very, very nice fellow, and he's also a nice guy to have around if you're ever in a confrontation. He is a big man.
Yeah, and I believe that, you know, someone closer to home would be a nice fellow to have around to come in, if you get into a conflict with somebody. Your son, Stephen.
That's correct. You know about that?
Nope.
Yeah. We have this ghastly sport over here in the States called mixed martial arts combat is what they call it.
Yeah.
Combination of boxing and wrestling and Thai kickboxing. Anyway, they combine all these skills and beating each other up. And my youngest son has gotten into it professionally.
We got that over here as well.
Joe. Oh, you do?
Yeah, it's called marriage.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I've had five wives.
Oh, five?
Probably working on my sixth right about now. You know about Gloria, don't you?
Yeah, well, yeah, I know about Gloria, yeah.
Yeah, Gloria's my latest wife. I married her. I shouldn't have done it, I freely admit it. But you know how it is when you have one too many Guinnesses and some of that mezcala. You do crazy things.
Your judgment sort of gets slightly cloudy, does it?
Well, more than slightly cloudy, it turns into a nightmare. but anyway, I'm weathering it okay, and I'm learning lessons all the way along the way here.
And, well, after five marriages, Chuck, so surely you're learning some lessons now.
Oh, absolutely. What I've learned is, why should you buy the cow when you can rent the milk, or something like that.
Right. So, Chuck, just on the subject of marriage, would you say yourself that marriage is a word, or is it a sentence?
Oh, gosh, I'm probably going to get beat up for this one. It's more of a sentence where you're given, you know, like, okay, you can get out in 5 to 10 years or something like that.
For good behavior.
But, yeah, for good behavior. Or, actually, you can get out earlier for bad behavior. I found that out.
Yeah, you get out quicker for bad behavior.
I think so. It's worked several times for me.
Listen, I was checking out your site. This is Patty here. I was checking out your site the other day, and you know something? What is this? Porrick was telling me about it, and I checked it out. Your shells.
Ah, the shells.
They are beautiful.
I appreciate that compliment. Do you know that I have had you two, you are the only two who have even mentioned them. I've had them up at my site for a while, and I even had the actual physical shells in a gallery for a while, but nobody seems to appreciate them at all. I don't understand it. I think maybe they're so unique that people don't recognize what they're seeing or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I was in New York a couple of years ago. I've got family in New York, and my wife's niece gave me a shell made of different shells from the beach, and it was shaped like a frog. I still have it at home. I thought it was lovely.
It was shells fashioned into the image of a frog?
Yeah, an image of a frog. Was lovely. Just a little, it could be cockles and mussels and all that.
Examine my floral arrangements.
Oh, they're absolutely brilliant.
And Patty, are you a musician yourself?
I am, and would you believe it, Chuck, I was talking to a friend of mine who is also a presenter on the radio, and he was asking me, he was doing a show today, and I was happening to be passing the studio when he called me in. He says, you have a guest on the show tonight, so I took up your site to get some information on you, and it says that it was Chuck played with a band called The Wheels.
Chuck Wagon and The Wheels, that was the original name, you know.
Well, you're not going to believe this, I played with a band called The Wheels a couple of years ago as well.
Really?
Yeah.
What a small world this is.
Very, very small world.
Was it just called The Wheels?
Yeah, it was just called, it was actually called, we've got a guy that presents a radio show, he's called Joe Duffy, and it was Joe Duffy and The Wheels.
Joe Duffy and The Wheels, so do you think I have grounds to sue him?
I think so, I'll be a witness.
Has he any money at all?
No, well, he owes more than he owns.
Oh, that's my story, okay,
yeah.
Mine, it's not worth it.
Listen, Chuck, I wanted to ask you, you were sitting there one day and you decided, I'm going to go on a fishing trip, and then the next thing you done, you turned around and you sold the rights of your name.
I did, yes. Well, you see, I was using the name Chuck Wagon and The Wheels for 20-some years.
Yeah.
And the whole project had pretty much run its course. You know, we played a lot. We we did a lot. We made several records. We did a lot. And then the band sort of fell apart just because we were all getting into our early 30s and wanted to have families and get a life, you know, be apart from music.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't live in a car all the time, living in hotels. You gotta do something else. So anyway, I thought, well, that's it then. I'm all done with it. We're all done with it. Let's retire from it. Let's step back. And somebody approached me. The somebody is a Brian. Ah, God, Brian Kennedy. Now I don't know if you know your country royalty much, but Brian's father, Jerry Kennedy, is a Nashville royalty. He's responsible for Mercury Records and the careers of the Statler Brothers and so on.
Right.
Anyway, Brian Kennedy, the son, gives me a call and says, I'd like to purchase your name. Of course, I thought he was kidding. Who'd want to name that ridiculous? He says, no, I'm quite serious. I'd like to purchase your name. And I had just stepped back into my house after going to the postal box to look at my mail. And what I had sent off for in the mail that I was looking forward to was a brochure from a deep-sea long-range fishing company. And I wanted to go on a deep-sea fishing trip. And the trip cost $2,000. How much is that? Oh, that reminds me. What kind of money do you have there in Ireland? Is it pounds or euros?
We don't have much.
No, we don't have much, but they're called euro.
Euros, okay.
Yeah, but it's actually one euro in Ireland is worth $1.35.
Okay. Well, anyway, do the math here. They wanted $2,000 for this 10-day trip, and I said to Brian, who was on the line, I said, sure, you can have the name for $2,000. And sure enough, he sent me a check the next week, and that was it. I could not believe that the man would pay for that ridiculous a name.
And what did he... Was the name used again, Chuck, or did someone pop up with it somewhere else, or what happened?
It was. Brian and his brothers went with the name, and they had a release that got charted here in the States called Beauty is in the Eyes of the Beer Holder.
Of the Beer Holder.
Write that down. Beauty is in the Eyes of the Beer Holder. They were on Lyric Street Records, which is a Disney label. And when I found out that they were on a Disney label, I thought to myself, I have undersold myself. I could have got a lot more money.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hey, speaking of Disney, that rings a bell, doesn't it, the Disney name?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, sorry to ask you these questions. I just don't know what to assume.
Yeah, but people don't expect to hear two Irishmen doing American country music. But we've got lots of things over here.
I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, we've got a Disney channel as well.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Chuck, have you ever been over to Ireland?
I haven't, but I aim to do that.
Right.
Really love to visit Ireland.
Yeah, and would you come over just on a holiday, or would you come over maybe to do a bit of business?
No, probably come over for a wedding, probably. And then Paddy, I asked Paddy if he's a musician, because he's going to have to back me up.
Yes, we have a good country band. We would do it. You just send us like, oh, we have your stuff here. Just no problem there. No,
just learn the favorite ones, and we'll do them at the wedding.
Yeah, there's a few with a few names that we have to listen to before we put it.
Okay.
That's no problem.
You cheat music for it to make it easy.
Yeah, but it's...
Do you read music?
Yeah, just the name, M-U-S-I-C.
Exactly. That's far
it's enough. They say that if you have it in, you let it out. Play by ear the whole time. You enjoy yourself. Music is supposed
exactly.
to be enjoyable.
Why make it scientific?
Yeah.
Because I was just wondering, were you ever over in Ireland, Chuck? Because I had said it before, like, that, you know, over here in Ireland, a lot of Americans, when they come over here, they want to kiss the Blarney Stone. And, you know, someone like yourself, judging from the comments that and messages that you've sent me in the last few weeks, I thought maybe that you might have swallowed a piece of it.
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
I didn't quite understand that, but I'll take your word for it. The Blarney Stone makes you a liar. What does it do? It makes you witty, or what?
Well, they say once you kiss it, that you'll never be stuck for a word, basically.
Mm. Oh, that's me, all right.
Yeah, you must have swallowed it.
Yeah,
I have no doubt. And here's another question for you. Red hair. Red hair runs in my family. My brothers are redheads. I have a red beard. Well, it used to be red. Now it's gray. But is that an Irish thing, to be redheaded?
Well, yeah, there's about 4.5 million people living over here, and we all have red hair.
Yeah, but I actually went with a girl with a red head. She had no hair, just a red head.
Now, just to get ready for this interview, I did some homework. I rented the movie The Commitments.
Oh.
And Imelda Quirk, she's a blonde.
Yeah.
And then they had the dark-haired, the other gal who sang very well, the dark-haired gal. She was dark-haired, no redhead at all. So.
Yeah, but I think Chuck, they all dyed their hair different colors just for the film.
Oh, for the movie. Mm,
yeah, just for the movie.
And then I also found out that Andrew Strong is really a singer.
That's correct, yes. He's
not just a movie actor playing like a singer. He really is a singer.
His dad is a singer as well as a blues singer, and he got it from them. His dad's name was Rob Strong, and he's very popular in Ireland at the moment, but... It was just a get-together of the Commitments, just as a band and as movie, as singers to go all to get in. And it was a very successful movie.
Oh, it is. We have it over here, you know, and I watch it and I think it's great. Mm. I love the movie. It's so typical of musical, it's so typical of band.
Yeah.
It's very typical. But the fist fights and the, stealing each other's girlfriends and such, that's all true.
So you could relate to that stuff, Chuck?
Absolutely. I thought I was watching a documentary.
and then, of course, the old wagons. Any wagon would do. They had a sort of a food wagon.
A food wagon?
Yeah, well, it's sort of a... What would you call it? It sells French fries and all that. It was an old wagon they bought.
They asked them if they had filet of sole or something. Oh, we had sole, I forget. Yeah, that was their vehicle for getting around. I thought that was clever.
Yeah, it's very, very good. But then, of course, with the rehearsals and all that, and they're coming along and they can't get babysitters and all this. It is a typical band thing.
It's typical.
So
jealousies and backstabbing. And
listen, Chuck, can we get back to this CD of yours, 24 Originals, Chuck Wagon Maltzby?
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, let me see. Yeah, the band, we put out 5 LPs back. Before you guys were born, they had things called LPs, and they were made out of vinyl.
Yep.
And they were 12 inches wide. Look in your history books, you'll see a...
We actually have them on the walls here.
You do?
Yeah, we put them up just for a bit of fun.
Oh, good for you, old antiques.
And then, you know something, Chuck? If you put an LP over a glass and pour hot water on it, you can create, well, you do an awful lot with shells, but you can create a fruit basket.
That's correct.
Yeah, we have something in common.
It resembles a ashtray or something functional.
Very, very good.
Yes, that's what I did with all my LPs.
You must have a load of ashtrays.
Salad bowls.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were asking about 24 Originals.
That's
it speaks for itself. Those are all original tunes from the band members. No cover tunes on there. And it's selling quite well. I think we've sold 3 so far. So if we sell 300, I will have broken even. And at the rate we're going, I figure it should be about, 3 or 10 years. I forget which. Anyway, right. Things are going well.
It's on Wagon Tracks Records. Is that your own label?
That's the label from a long time ago. And you guys understand what a chuck wagon is, don't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
The old cowboy thing, the wagon that followed the drovers so that fed them a chuck wagon. So it was sort of a clever joke, I thought, chuck wagon and the wheels. And then Wagon Tracks Records was also another attempt at being clever.
Yeah, right. Because Chuck, I'm just wondering though, even though you've sold the name, it's still Chuck Wagon Maltzby.
Yeah, I'm using that middle name Wagon because I was Chuck Wagon from when I was a baby. I've always been Chuck Wagon all my life. People, because Chuck is a very, it's a utilitarian name, Chuck. Yeah, there's Chuck Hole, Chuck Wagon, Chuck Steak, Up Chuck, all sorts of Chucks.
Yeah.
And Chuck Wagon was the one that stuck with me as a nickname. I've been known as that all my life. So if they do choose to sue me for keeping that part of my name, that's okay. I can transpose it into some more publicity, I think.
So, Chuck, what does the future hold? What do you think the future holds for Chuck Maltzby?
Absolutely, my Mezquila Scorpion Liquor. That's it. I'm going to make a fortune off this. I'm going to retire and be able to come visit the world, starting with you fellows.
No, definitely. We really enjoy that. We might get an awful lot of Irish people to drink that drink.
I think you guys can handle it. I mean, you've been drinking that Irish whiskey all your time. I think you're okay. I think you're going to be just fine with it.
Well, I think it isn't over in America and over up in Arizona and all that. They would call it moonshine.
Moonshine. That was more of a Tennessee hill country kind of thing.
Well, we got stuff over here called potcheen.
Say that again.
Potcheen.
Haven't heard of that. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's something similar to the moonshine. It's sort of when you drink so much of it, you go into a coma for about 4 days.
Well, that's the idea, right? What's the point of why drink unless you're going to do that?
And then you sort of wake up looking for scorpions.
Oh, you asked about the future. Also, as a sideline to my new liquor company, I'm in the process of putting together a double CD set of our live show.
Very good.
So I'll get that off to you as soon as it's ready to go. I'll get it to you.
Well, I have to say that your version of Gloria, all nearly 20 minutes long of it, was absolutely fantastic. It's a pity that we couldn't play it here, the full-length version of it on the show, but it would probably get us into a lot of trouble.
Well, that's okay. You can always play it at private parties and private gatherings, where it'd be more appreciated anyway.
Chuck, did you write that whole piece at the end, or was that just basically you were coming up with that in the spur of the moment?
The Gloria thing, you mean?
Yeah.
That took years and years of doing the same song, night after night. We played, seven nights a week, three, mm-hmm. 5 days a year for years. So it evolved. It started out with just the basic Gloria, which is kind of boring if you think about it. Not much of a story there.
Yep.
We started embellishing the story little by little, and it turned into 20 minutes after about 6 years.
Yeah, because the live version of listening to it, we were cracking up laughing in the kitchen listening to it.
That's good. So you get it. Some people don't get it at all. Some people think it's offensive. Do you believe that?
Well, I can see how some people would, all right. Listen, Chuck, we've run out of time about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, well, I'll stop blabbing then. Get off.
No, it's been a pleasure.
Again, I really like meeting you fellas, and I get a big kick out of your accent.
Is that right, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I think you guys ought to do a spoken word sort of thing and try and market it. I think it would sell.
We could do a promo for your alcohol.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. Also, I can do a promo for your station. In fact,
oh, yeah. You got to send us one over.
Yeah, we'll have to get you to do that.
Consider it done. Okay, get off the phone here and go back to business.
Listen, Chuck, we're going to play Disco Sucks. Do you want to introduce it here to the people in Ireland and Dundalk here and around the world?
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Paddy and Pedrig, and they are going to... Hey, Pedrig, is it Patrick or Pedrig? How do you pronounce that name?
It's pronounced Podrig.
Podrig.
Yeah.
Podrig and Paddy.
It's actually, when it's called Podrig, it's actually the Irish for Paddy.
Okay.
But if we call it two Paddies, you wouldn't know which one was talking to.
Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen around the world, you're listening to Chuck Wagon as a guest on Podrig and Paddy's Kick-Ass Country Show here on Dundalk FM 100. They are now going to segue into Disco Sucks. Okay, hit it.